More than once, Father Vaillant had spoken to the bishop of this aged captive. There had been much whispering among the devout women of the parish about her pitiful case. The Smiths, with whom she lived, were Georgia people who had at one time lived in El Paso del Norte, and they had taken her back to their native state with them. Not long ago, some disgrace had come upon this family in Georgia. They had been forced to sell all their Negro slaves and flee the state. The Mexican woman they could not sell because they had no legal title to her. Her position was irregular. Now that they were back in a Mexican country, the Smiths were afraid their charwoman might escape from them and find asylum among her own people. So they kept strict watch upon her. They did not allow her to go outside their own patio, not even to accompany her mistress to market. Two women of the Altar Guild had been so bold as to go into the patio to talk with Sada when she was washing clothes. But they had been rudely driven away by the mistress of the house. Mrs. Smith had come running out into the court, half-dressed, and told them that if they had business at her casa, they were to come in by the front door, and not sneak in through the stable to frighten a poor silly creature. When they said they had come to ask Sada to go to Mass with them, she told them she had got the poor creature out of the clutches of the priest once, and would see to it that she did not fall into them again. Even after that rebuff, a very pious neighbor woman had tried to say a word to Sada through the alley door of the stable, where she was unloading wood off the burrow. But the old servant had put her finger to her lips and motioned the visitor away, glancing back over her shoulder the while with such an expression of terror that the intruder hastened off, surmising that Sada would be harshly used if she were caught speaking to anyone. The good woman went immediately to Father Vaillant with this story, and he had consulted the bishop, declaring that something ought to be done to secure the consolations of religion for the bondwoman. But the bishop replied that the time was not yet. For the present, it was inexpedient to antagonize these people. The Smiths were the leaders of a small group of low-caste Protestants, who took every occasion to make trouble for the Catholics. They hung about the door of the church on festival days with mockery and loud laughter, spoke insolently to the nuns in the street, stood jeering and blaspheming when the procession went by on Corpus Christi Sunday. There were 5 sons in the Smith family, fellows of low habits and evil tongues. Even the 2 younger boys, still children, showed a vicious disposition. Troncolino had repeatedly driven these 2 boys out of the bishop's garden, where they came with their lewd companions to rob the young pear trees or to speak filth against the priests. When they rose from their knees, Father Latour told Sada he was glad to know that she remembered her prayers so well.
"Ah, Padre, every night I say my rosary to my Holy Mother, no matter where I sleep," declared the old creature passionately, looking up into his face and pressing her knotted hands against her breast. When he asked if she had her beads with her, she was confused. She kept them tied with a cord around her waist under her clothes as the only place she could hide them safely. He spoke soothingly to her. "Remember this, Sada. In the year to come, and during the novena before Christmas, I will not forget to pray for you whenever I offer the blessed sacrifice of the Mass. Be at rest in your heart, for I will remember you in my silent supplications before the altar, as I do my own sisters and my nieces." Never, as he afterward told Father Vaillant, had it been permitted him to behold such deep experience, the holy joy of religion, as on that pale December night. He was able to feel, kneeling beside her, the preciousness of the things of the altar to her who was without possessions. The tapers, the image of the Virgin, the figures of the saints, the cross that took away indignity from suffering and made pain and poverty a means of fellowship with Christ. Kneeling beside the much-enduring bondwoman, he experienced those holy mysteries as he had done in his young manhood. He seemed able to feel all it meant to her to know that there was a kind woman in heaven, though there were such cruel ones on earth. Old people who have felt blows and toil and known the world's hard hand need, even more than children do, a woman's tenderness. Only a woman divine could know all that a woman can suffer. Not often, indeed, had Jean-Marie Latour come so near to the fountain of all pity as in the Lady Chapel that night. The pity that no man born of woman could ever utterly cut himself off from. That was for the murderer on the scaffold, as it was for the dying soldier or the martyr on the rack. The beautiful concept of Mary pierced the priest's heart like a sword. "O Sacred Heart of Mary," she murmured by his side, and he felt how that name was food and raiment, friend and mother to her. He received the miracle in her heart into his own, saw through her eyes, knew that his poverty was as bleak as hers. When the kingdom of heaven had first come into the world, into a cruel world of torture and slaves and masters, he who brought it had said, "And whosoever is least among you, the same shall be first in the kingdom of heaven." This church was Sada's house, and he was a servant in it. The bishop heard the old woman's confession. He blessed her and put both hands upon her head. When he took her down the nave to let her out of the church, Sada made to lift his cloak from her shoulders. He restrained her, telling her she must keep it for her own and sleep in it at night. But she slipped out of it hurriedly. Such a thought seemed to terrify her. "No, no, Father, if they were to find it on me." More than that, she did not accuse her oppressors. But as she put it off, she stroked the old garment and patted it as if it were a living thing that had been kind to her. Happily, Father Latour bethought him of a little silver medal with a figure of the Virgin he had in his pocket. He gave it to her, telling her that it had been blessed by the Holy Father himself. Now she would have a treasure to hide and guard, to adore while her watchers slept. Ah, he thought, for one who cannot read or think, the image, the physical form of love. He fitted the great key into its lock. The door swung slowly back on its wooden hinges. The peace without seemed all one with the peace in his own soul. The snow had stopped. The gauzy clouds that had ribbed the arch of heaven were now all sunk into one soft white fog bank over the Sangre de Cristo mountains. The full moon shone high in the blue vault, majestic, lonely, benign. The bishop stood in the doorway of his church, lost in thought, looking at the line of black footprints his departing visitor had left in the wet scurf of snow.